All right. This is Josh.
And this is Little Josh.
And this is our first podcast ever. Today is Sunday, June 24th, 2018.
At 7:26 p.m. Well, 7:27 now.
Eastern time. And we are currently in traffic on Interstate 64 headed west from Williamsburg, Virginia to Richmond, Virginia. Then we're going to stop at Publix and then make our way up Interstate 95 through Virginia and Maryland and then Pennsylvania.
So you guys are probably wondering, what the heck are we doing in Williamsburg, Virginia?
Exactly.
Well, we were actually at Busch Gardens and we want to talk about what our favorite things were and what and how, like, rate it and stuff.
And one of the things about podcasts is podcasts have come along over the years. It depends on what you're talking about. So basically, if a person enjoys talking about it, there's probably somebody out there that enjoys listening to it. And there's podcasts out there for everything. So we decided, why not, as we're sitting in traffic, do an audio podcast review of amusement parks, because we love amusement parks. And we thought, well, since Busch Gardens Williamsburg is fresh in our minds, why not do a little podcast to review our trip, review the rides, and figure out, well, you know, what we like the most about it and whether or not we come back. And Josh and I have been to just so many different amusement parks. Josh, if you could you list off in chronological order, if you could, the amusement parks we've been to since your birth in 2007.
Well,
do you remember your first amusement park? You probably don't, because
yes, I do. I remember us go. Well, I don't remember obviously, but you telling me we were going to Epcot, and my first ride was Spaceship Earth.
That's correct. Your first ride when you were about 6 weeks old was at Epcot Center in Disney World, and it was, in fact, Spaceship Earth. You cried during most of it, and I think I've got a picture of it somewhere, but yeah, that was your ride. Since then, we have been on hundreds, if I might even say potentially thousands, of rides at all different types of amusement parks.
That is correct.
So we've been to Epcot Center, we've been to Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. We've been to both water parks at the amusement parks, the Disney World Resort. Where else have we been, Josh? Let's try to think. Let's take it by state. Going up the coast, have you been to any in Georgia? No. South Carolina? No. North Carolina? No. Virginia? Yes.
Well, obviously. We're talking about that right now.
Yeah, Busch Gardens. We've been to Busch Gardens. You've also been
Busch Gardens, Tampa.
You've been to Busch Gardens, Tampa. You've been to Sea World. We've been to Aquatica. We've been to Six Flags in St. Louis. We've been to Six Flags in Washington, D.C., which also is a Virginia park, I believe. We've been to Six Flags in New Jersey. We've been to... where else have we been? I know there's other ones. You have been to Cedar Point. I have not joined you on that trip, although I imagine we'll hit that someday. We have not been to Disneyland yet. But
we will talk about all of those other parks in our next broadcast. So without further ado, let's start talking about Busch Gardens Williamsburg.
Okay, so go for it, kid.
What was your favorite ride there?
Well, I think the first thing we need to discuss is Busch Gardens as a whole. So Busch Gardens is owned by SeaWorld, right? SeaWorld owns the Busch Gardens in Tampa, the Busch Gardens in Williamsburg, and there's a lot of the same features in both parks. For example, Busch Gardens in Tampa has an animal component. There's parts in Busch Gardens in Tampa where you can go and see lions and tigers and seals and fish. Same thing here at Busch Gardens in Williamsburg.
We even saw some bald eagles. We
saw a bald eagle.
Interesting and cool.
Yes. Busch Gardens Williamsburg is different from Busch Gardens in Tampa because in Tampa, they seem to have just kind of placed Busch Gardens in the middle of urban life. You can go up into one of the towers, I think it's Falcon's Fury, and you can see that there's commerce, there's a college nearby, the University of South Florida. You can see things. From Busch Gardens, Williamsburg, you're kind of tucked away and nestled away almost in a forest. And that's kind of this entire area. Williamsburg is just surrounded by trees, as a lot of places in Southern Virginia
are. Even now, we're on the highway, and there are so many trees.
Lots of trees.
Like a giant row, like a giant tornado just sucked a giant row of...
just wall of trees abut each... interstate heading east and west, north and south in Southern Virginia. So Virginia. Oh, we forgot another one. King's Dominion. We've been there as well.
Oh, yeah.
I totally forgot about that one. So that's Busch Gardens, kind of the background of Busch Gardens as a whole. The theme of this particular Busch Gardens is one that's near and dear to our hearts. It has a European flair, not unlike World Showcase at Epcot, where you go from country to country, and in each country you have plenty of stores, of course, because that's how they make their money, selling tchotchkes and wine glasses and other whatnots. They also have food of the times, and of the regions, and then they have rides that are themed to the countries with which the actual area of the park is meant to convey. For example, Germany, which has a very large portion of the north, I guess that would be the north area of the park, or actually I guess that would be the southern area of the park. The north part of the map of the park is all Germany and Oktoberfest.
Yes.
There is a ride called, what is it, Verbolten?
Well,
let's take a look as we
have a
crumpled up map in front of us here.
Yes.
So the rides we have in Oktoberfest, the Mock Tower, the Der Wilberwind, the Wirbel Wingchen, the Roto Baron, the Der Autobahn, the Der Autobahn Jr., and Verbolten. A lot of these, there's one of them's the tower that drops you 330 feet. There's one. 300 is the one at
King's Dominion. We actually got stuck on there.
Yeah, we did. It was not fun. Verbolten is a roller coaster with which it has a feature I've never experienced. About halfway through the ride, first of all, I had no idea what to expect with Verbolten. I didn't look it up.
Yeah, I thought it would all be outside, but most of it was actually inside, and it actually had very stunning and cunning effects that no one would expect on the first try of the ride.
Yeah, Verbolten actually has a drop where you're on a track, and the track drops suddenly. I would say that was probably, what, maybe 20 feet, Josh? Down. In complete darkness.
And then it launches you.
And then it launches you halfway through the ride. It was an experience I've never had in a ride before, where there's a transition of the track. The only other one that I've experienced where there's a transition of the track is at Expedition Everest, where the track changes at the point where it changes the course halfway through. But this one actually drops. The track drops suddenly 20 feet and then shoots you out. So there's several areas of the park. We'll get back to Verbolten.
Later.
So you have Scotland, Ireland. They have a little kids area, the Sesame Street Forest of Fun. They have France, New France, Germany, Oktoberfest, Italy, and Festa Italia. So... just a great park. You know, they coin themselves as America's most beautiful, or the world's most beautiful water park, or, I'm sorry, amusement park, and they're probably right.
Lots of people are saying that the parks are very nice.
Yeah. So Josh, why don't you tell them a little bit about some of the roller coasters that are there. And then I'll get into the food a little bit later. Here, I'll give
which
you...
one should I start with?
Well, here's a list. You can just take a look and kind of start at the top. And we can discuss all of the seven major... Okay, so there are seven major roller coasters at Busch Gardens Williamsburg. And the reason there are seven, because they've got them all over the t-shirts. That's how I know that there's seven. That's important.
Yeah, there's also four in Busch Gardens Tampa. They call it four times the fury, but here they call it seven times the speed. The seven major roller coasters that they have here are... Loch Ness Monster.
That ride is 40 years old.
Griffin.
Griffin, good one.
Invader.
Invader, a wooden coaster.
Alpengeist.
Alpengeist, a hanging coaster. That's four.
Apollo's Chariot.
Yeah, that's one of those, just it's all speed and camelback. Is that what they call them? Camelback Hills. What are those hills called?
Yeah, camelbacks. Yeah. Well, huge camelbacks.
So that's five.
Tempesto.
Tempesto, that one of the fastest. And when I mean fastest, I mean they put you in a seat, and 35 seconds later, they're taking you out of the seat. It's a very quick ride. So that's five, Tempesto. Then we're missing two. Griffin, you said?
Yeah, I said Griffin.
Apollo's Chariot, Tempesto, Invader. Verbolten, that's five. Alpengeist, that's six. There's one more.
It's not Escape from Pompeii.
No, it should be. It should be listed in those lists there.
Okay, let me take another look.
Yeah, sure, we can do the list again, no problem.
Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, that was it. That was your seventh.
I already said that.
Yeah, so that's our seventh. So, Loch Ness Monster, Invader... Alpengeist, Verbolten, Tempesto, Apollo's Chariot, and Griffin are the seven. So, which one? So, roller coasters, we can get back to everything else. They're pushing a virtual reality ride that's there. The Battle for Ira or something like that?
Eerie, I think.
It's in Scotland. It's a virtual reality ride, and I get that, the push
great
now.
Great graphics, too motionless.
Yeah, it's one of those rides where you go into a theater that kind of moves around as if you're on a ride. You see it a lot nowadays that they do these virtual moving. There's a lot of them in Universal now, where like the Harry Potter ride, where it looks like you're moving, but you're actually not going anywhere. So they have that in a theater, but then you have to wear this virtual reality mask, which allows you to see 360 up, down, left, right. But the graphics are fine. It's just if you feel like you're kind of like inside of a computer screen watching in a computer software program. It was okay. Didn't love it. So I wouldn't consider that to be a thrill ride. I think that's more for the little ones. All right,
on to the roller coaster.
Yes, go for it, Josh. Where should we start first?
Let's start with Loch Ness Monster.
Okay, so a little fun facts about Loch Ness Monster. As we know it, we haven't actually looked this stuff up. Loch Ness Monster is currently in its 40th anniversary, and the park seems to be celebrating that. I think it said June 6th of 1978, which makes it about 2 months and 6 days older than me.
Yes.
Is when it opened, and it's a coaster that... Well, Josh, why don't you go through the coaster?
Well, I honestly think it was pretty cool. I mean, it went pretty far up, and the 126-foot drop was fun. And I also like how they did the interlocking loops. My personal favorite part was the part that you go inside and you hear all these noises, like the Loch Ness Monster and all the flashing lights, and you go around in circles, and then you go out, and then there's another loop, and then pretty much the ride's over.
Yeah, it's a pretty good... If that was the theme of the ride 40 years ago, and they haven't done major renovations to it, I have to say, that ride was probably way ahead of its time 40 years ago. And riding similar rides. Josh and I are natives. Our home park, if you would consider, whatever's our closest park and the one that we attend. My goodness, at one point we were probably going there 30 times a year. Not as much anymore. Hershey Park, the Super Duper Looper, came out about the same time as the Loch Ness Monster. Loch Ness Monster is just amazing.
Better than Super Duper Looper.
Yeah, with the Super Duper Looper, you have one loop. You kind of go through this small barn-like tunnel. This one has several loops. It's got this inside feature with the strobe lights and the noises. It's a classic coaster, I would say. It wasn't my favorite roller coaster at Busch Gardens, but I was pleasantly surprised with the ride itself. We went at nighttime. There wasn't a huge line for it. As a matter of fact, there wasn't much of a line at all at nighttime. We were there over this entire weekend, and the Saturday night, we were able to hop on it once, and dare I say, we probably could have done it again and again and again if we wanted to.
But we needed to hit the other one. And the other one was Griffin, so let's talk about that one.
Okay, so let's go over Griffin.
Griffin. Two words to describe it. Sheer terror. You literally drop 200 feet straight down, and then you do like this weird inversion thing, and then come to this one pit stop thing, and then it goes another straight down, and then a bunch of this stuff, and then you get shot, and then you splash some water, and then that's
the ride. The Griffin is similar to Busch Gardens. I believe it's called the Kraken, where you're on a track and you go across by, I think it's about 8 seats across.
It wasn't the Kraken. The Kraken was the green one. It wasn't the Kraken. The Kraken was the one that hung down. It was...
Oh, okay. What was the
one? Yeah, that was more like the Loch Ness Monster.
I'm trying to think of the one at Busch Gardens, Tampa, that...
The one that we got stuck in for 3 hours because of the stupid weather.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. We were going to go to a Tampa Bay Rays game, and we ended up not going because we were waiting in line, and it wasn't the Kraken, huh?
Nope. The one with the huge stairs.
Well, why don't you talk more about Griffin while I try and figure out what the one is in Busch Gardens, Tampa.
Okay, so what Griffin is... It's a standing, like, it's not an upside-down coaster. It's not the one that you hang. It's a regular coaster. But the seats aren't, the cars aren't regular.
Sheikra. Sheikra was the one in Busch Gardens, Tampa. My apologies.
Okay, I guess we'll have to talk about that later. Oh, wait, no, we don't.
Oh, no, we don't. We can talk about that another time. But what I was saying is the Griffin is kind of like Sheikra in that it has a wide... berth in that there are many people that sit across on it, but I liked it. We rode it. Didn't we ride it twice late last night?
Yeah, we did.
Back to back at the end of the night. We might have even done it 3 times. I don't remember. No, it was just twice. And we got to sit in the front row. One thing that I've noticed about these Busch Garden rides is when you go the high, like you take the long ride up to the top of your first drop, instead of just dropping you on almost every roller coaster, they do an area where there's an initial drop of like maybe 10 feet, and then you do the big drop.
Yes.
And Griffin is similar. It's no different.
I I have a game called Roller Coaster Tycoon, and I like to do that a lot of times too because that actually gives the people, they call them peeps for some reason, but it actually gives the people more makes them more tense and scared, and when the heck the drop is gonna come, and all of a sudden this drop comes out of nowhere and they're screaming and stuff like that.
So the Griffin, I've ridden a similar ride before, a great ride, but not a very long ride, but I thought it was absolutely fine.
The cars are weird. They're they have like 10 seats per row, and they have free rows, and like they hang out incredibly far.
They do, they do. But you don't notice it because there's floor underneath you. It's not like Sky Rush or Hershey Park where you have seats that are hanging literally over nothing. That's not how Griffin is. So, moving on, we've done the Loch Ness Monster and Griffin. What's
Invader.
Next?
Invader.
So, Invader, is that in Germany? Or October?
Invader is in France.
Oh, okay.
France.
So France was a pleasant surprise. The food was good. Josh and I both enjoyed a crepe. I had a strawberry crepe on Saturday. Josh had a banana crepe on Sunday. Both of them had a Nutella inside of it. Very good. Enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, lots of chocolate.
A lot of chocolate. So Invader was a... It's a wooden roller coaster. And I liked it. A lot of times when you're dealing with wooden roller coasters, and you're dealing with wooden roller coasters that are older, you get the shaking effect where it's like rattling your brain or other parts of your anatomy as you're riding along the rails and bumping along. Invader has that, but not. It's not to the point of like... sickening. It's just a little, it adds a little bit to it. The other thing I like about the wooden coasters
is like the tunnel at the top.
Yes. There is
like
a
tunnel. You don't know what's going on, and then all of a sudden you see this light and you're going down. You're plummeting to the bottom, and then there's just another tunnel and you go around and around. What do you want to talk about?
No, I was just going to say that another thing about Invader, I like... As I said before, Busch Gardens Williamsburg is nestled in a forest. Reminds me of another Knoebels that we go to a lot. And I had actually said this to Josh over the weekend. I said this park reminds me of Knoebels in that it's set in a forest in between trees and such. And I like that, you know, sometimes these wooden coasters, you know, up against the backdrop of trees and kind of climbing through the forest land. And Invader's no different. It's just it's really a great ride, a good wooden roller coaster, and
yeah,
I enjoyed
it. Yeah,
it's
pretty good.
I enjoyed it.
Next one, Alpengeist.
So Alpengeist is one of those hanging roller coasters like Great Bear at Hershey Park, like, is it Mako at SeaWorld? I don't know if it's the Mako coaster or not.
No, that's more like...
The Manta at SeaWorld is the hanging coaster.
Yeah.
These... So, over the years, as I get older, these hanging roller coasters, for whatever reason, some of the twists and turns don't agree with me too much. I've been in a situation where I've ridden Great Bear probably at least 20 times in my life. There was a point a couple of years ago where I rode it and I took one of those hairline turns that it has and I was just done for the rest of the day. I had a headache and I just couldn't ride anymore. So I'm always timid on these hanging coasters, but I was fine. It was a fine coaster, you know, does everything that these hanging coasters does with the inversions and the loops and the everything else. Josh, do you have anything to add on the Alpengeist?
It's longer than I thought it would be. I mean, it's much longer than Great Bear at Hershey Park. I like the colors of it too. It's a good combination, especially since it's over water. And I also like how much inversions there are, because if I look on the map, I'm gonna count right now. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 inversions on this ride, which is a lot if you compare it to other coasters. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say.
Well, I thought it was fine. I mean, it was the theme was the Alps, the French Alps, hence the Alpengeist. And I liked it. As those hanging coasters go, not my favorite. But I wasn't displeased with the ride, and I thought it was good.
Okay, next one. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, no, I'm good on Alpengeist, buddy.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Verbolten.
So Verbolten on Saturday we were gonna go. The problem we had on Saturday was
it closed.
All the rides closed in the middle of the afternoon, which it was already very packed, so it was very difficult to get on any rides. And Verbolten was actually closed for a long time, which leads me. Very long weekend. Which leads me to one. Thing, if I can nitpick about Busch Gardens, that, you know, every time I go to a new park, I always wonder how they handle bags. So, as a single dad for years now, ever since Josh and I started hitting amusement parks, and I would say it was probably 2011 when he was about 4 years old, that's when we started by getting season passes to Hershey Park.
Was it 2012?
No, I think it was 2011.
Okay.
It might have been 2012, who knows? So, be that as it may, I, as a single dad, I have to carry the waters, the sunscreen, the cell phone chargers, the maps. At one point, I had to carry him. The snacks, any tchotchkes or t-shirts that are bought, any plush toys that are won. So I gotta carry a backpack, and unfortunately, sometimes I gotta rock the cargo shorts so I have the extra pockets to put things in. Never the Tevas, though. Always keep it with sneakers. Anyways, so some parks, they have bag drops, and to a single parent, bag drop is just fantastic.
Yes.
You have the backpack for the entirety of the line. Then when you finally get to the ride, you can put all the crap you've been playing with for the past 45 minutes, all of the drinks you've been drinking, the snacks you've been snacking, back into the backpack, into the bag drops area. You do your ride for 2 minutes, you come back, your bag's there, you're good to go. In either a money-making scheme or whatever it may be, now, theme parks have gotten into the use of rental lockers. Some amusement parks don't charge you for those rental lockers. You get
this one does.
It sure does. For every single ride we had to get on, we had to put our stuff in a locker. Except for Tempesto. Tempesto we were okay with. We just dropped our bag because that's the only train. There's only one train for Tempesto, and we'll get to that later. Anyways.
Verbolten had them. Griffin had them. Vader had them. Much more.
So, for every place we stopped, we had to swipe a credit card, pay a dollar, put the bag in, we ended the rental so we didn't get an extra charge after an hour or two. Very annoying. That is one thing. I understand it's probably a little bit of liability, probably a little bit of, hey, I can make some money off of this, but truthfully, honestly, all theme parks should just do a complimentary bag drop at every location.
Yes,
at the drop, at the location where you get on to the ride.
And what also sucks about that is if the ride is really long, if the wait for the ride is really long, sometimes it gets sold out, and now you can't even ride it because they won't let you on.
Right, and we had that issue yesterday. We had this issue with several rides. One of them was Verbolten. We actually were going to ride it yesterday until we got to a point where there were no lockers available. So we couldn't go on the ride unless we had our stuff in the locker. So we ended up riding Verbolten today, Sunday, and frankly, the line, it was probably the biggest line. What do you think the biggest line we experienced during the entire trip? It was either the virtual reality ride, because that was the only ride that was open when everything else was closed on Saturday afternoon.
I mean, even that wasn't very long. I'm surprised that we haven't seen lines that were longer than 45 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say 30, 40 minutes tops. We hit one a King's Dominion that was pretty long last fall. It was probably, my God, we were probably in it 2 hours. This one, that was the one thing. These lines weren't too bad. I think the longest one we were in might have been 35 minutes for Loch Ness.
Loch Ness. I forgot about that.
Was it Loch Ness? There was one yesterday we went on that was about 30 minutes. I don't know. Whatever the case is. So
it was Invader, I think.
Yeah, that was it. That's the ticket. Invader yesterday.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Was 35 minutes. So,
Alpengeist was actually 5 minutes.
Yeah, Alpengeist was
packed.
Long. But anyways, so back to Verbolten. Today, we were probably in line for 20, 25 minutes for that one. And it was fine. They had a queue that actually had a little... You know, I like it when theme parks add the touch of some things you can look at while you're in the queue, instead of just staring at your phone, playing Clash of Clans, or texting your friends. They had some things you could take a look at. So Verbolten was fine. I mean, so go ahead. I'm sorry. Were we on a Verbolten?
Yes.
Okay, go for it.
I like the part when it dropped. I also like the part when it went up in that little building and went down. What I didn't like about it was our first appearance. There was a lady behind us that kept swearing, like, F-word, 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 over and over and over. And I'm like, oh my God, will you please F-word stop?
Yeah, there was a woman behind us that, you know, as a dad... with an 11-year-old. It's not the first time he's heard the F-word before, but there was a woman behind us that was, I guess, saying, don't F-word talk to me for the rest of the trip. Don't F-word talk to me for the rest of today. To whomever her significant other or friend was that was on the ride with her, that I guess had presumably forced her to get on the ride, and then she was going to be, arrogant about it or rude or trying to be funny midway through the ride. Other than that, though, it was a great ride.
It was fast. It was pretty fast.
Yes. It had a feature where it was recording the video of you and then you could buy it and look at it afterwards. For whatever reason, it wasn't working today. I would have been curious to see my face because, as I said earlier in the podcast, I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know what this kind of coaster was. All I knew was that it was a normal sit-down coaster. I didn't know if it was a slingshot coaster. I didn't know if it was an inversions. It was, you know, I would say I tend to compare roller coasters with ones I've ridden before. I would say it was
probably one of my favorite roller coasters.
A little bit Rock and Roller Coaster, a little bit of the Mummy roller coaster at Universal Studios.
I'm thinking the wrong coaster.
You shoot out, or no, you don't shoot out.
Even a little bit of Storm Runner.
Yeah, there's a Storm Runner component to it. And then there's that drop track where I can't compare that to anything. I've never experienced that in my life.
There is one in China, but it doesn't drop. The track rotates, and then you go straight down.
Yeah. So, Verbolten was probably my second favorite.
Verbolten was definitely my first favorite.
So, I like that it was partially inside, partially outside. I think that's really cool. There's that hybrid thing going on. I liked the drop. I don't really know what was going on at the first because I was so unsettled because I didn't know what to expect. And it was the first 10 seconds were very intense once you got inside to this building. There was a lot of visual effects and a lot of twists and turns and inversions and
flashing lights.
Yeah, I was just
now I understand why they called it the Black Forest.
Yeah, it was freaky. I'll say that. It was definitely freaky. So,
okay, to the next coaster.
Oh, okay, let's do it.
Tempesto.
Okay, so Tempesto, I originally was a little hesitant about riding because another thing, as I said, as I'm getting older, I struggle with certain rides. There's a ride at Hershey Park called Sidewinder. I can do loops all day. I can do inversions.
Even I was worried. I was asking over and over again, are you sure you want to ride this?
I was fine with it.
I mean, it was okay. But he was like, oh my god, that was wild.
Yeah, but so Verbolt, or I'm sorry, Tempesto was a pleasant surprise. I enjoyed it a lot. It's a very quick ride. One of the quickest rides. So there have been some quick rides we've been on. King to Ka is a very quick ride. The first time we went on King to Ka, we were on in line for 2 hours in the hot, humid New Jersey sun.
No electronics, no water, no food, nothing.
For two hours. For a ride that lasted probably 15 seconds.
Yeah. Launch 126 miles per hour, go up 460 feet, drop down 460 feet, go on this, like, 1,000-foot-long camelback, and then you're done.
Then that's it.
That's it.
Also, one like that is Storm Runner Hershey Park. The ride's, like, 20 seconds long. Tempesto, very quick ride. They get you on it really quick. They get you off it really quick. The ride itself
is
really
literally
quick.
What happens. You go up, you down, you go down, you go all the way around, and then you go down again, and you go up a little, and then you're done.
Yeah, it has a lot of inversions and twists and turns and loops.
Yeah, I liked it.
But it's all on one track, and you go up about halfway up. It kind of was like Mr. Freeze's reverse blast at Six Flags in St. Louis.
Yeah,
you kind of
like
go up
one.
All the way, and then you drop all the way, and you go back the other way, right through the train station.
Mr. Freeze wasn't exactly like that.
No, Mr. Freeze was a little different. Yeah. But Tempesto I liked. I liked the color scheme of it. I thought it was really cool. It had a Miami Dolphins, like, orange and aqua that I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's your favorite football team.
Even though they're terrible.
Yeah.
So I liked it. I was pleasantly surprised at Tempesto. I thought it was going to be like the Sidewinder, and it wasn't. It was great.
Okay, next coaster, Apollo's Chariot. Fun fact about this one.
Okay, Josh, why don't you give them all the fun fact about Apollo's Chariot?
You might not believe this, but I'm going to ask you a trivia question right now. What happened to the maker? What was his name? Fabio?
Well, see, it's either the maker of the roller coaster or Fabio, a former celebrity, I guess, in the late 90s. So this roller coaster opened up in 1999 in Busch Gardens. And on the inaugural day, go for it, Josh.
Okay, the trivia question is, what happened to Fabio when he was right, like, on the first drop, what happened to Fabio on the ride? A, he passed out. B, he got hit by a goose. Or C, he lost his arm. If you guessed B, you were correct.
Yeah, that's right. So in 1999, on its inaugural, probably not its inaugural run, but I guess its official celebratory inaugural ride, either Fabio or the maker of the ride was hit in the face on the first drop by a goose.
Yes.
Had to go to the hospital. The goose was cooked.
Yes, completely. It completely exploded.
Exploded and died.
People were saying that it didn't turn out well for the Fabio. Well, who would say that? The goose literally exploded while he only got blood on his face.
Yeah, so Apollo's Chariot is one of those rides. Again, I will compare to what I believe is called Mako in SeaWorld, which is a Superman ride at Six Flags America. It's all...
He likes those kind of coasters. The coasters with a bunch of camelbacks. No inversions.
No inversions, just raw speed. Very fast. Lots of drops. Lots of turns. We rode Apollo's Chariot, three times? Once yesterday on Saturday, and then twice. It was our last ride today at Busch Gardens.
Yeah.
I would say that was my favorite ride, and that's probably just because I like that type of roller coaster. I'm a fan of the speed and of the hills and of the big drops, the long 200-foot drops. That's my kind of ride. That's why I chose that to be my favorite.
Okay. Are there any roller coasters that we didn't go over yet? We did Vader, Elephant Geist, Revolt. We took a while to talk about.
Tempesto.
I almost said Turkish Delight because it was right next to Tempesto on the map. Tempesto, Apollo's Chariot, and Loch Ness Monster, and Griffin.
That all seven? I think that's all seven.
Yes. So let's talk about the other thrill rides in the park.
Go for it.
So we have to. We're gonna probably have to talk about like these for like 2 minutes because. Well, we can't get everything in.
Sure. So, we talked about the virtual reality ride at Battle for Erie. It's got a cool little queue. It's indoors. It was okay.
My favorite part about that ride is when you get to shoot the laser at the Erie thing.
Yes.
And you saw me with the laser of like shaking around, like.
Oh yeah, it was very cool. Very cool. Also,
Mock Tower.
Mock Tower is one of those drop towers. It's 230 feet high.
240.
240 feet high. It slowly brings you up and gyro rotates. So as you go up, you're going around and you're seeing the entire area. You're up there for about 10 seconds and then you're down. Liked it. It was as expected. Not any different. There's one at Busch Gardens in Tampa called Falcon's Fury.
I did not go on that one because I never experienced what it was like to be on one of those towers. So
Falcon's Fury.
Don't laugh at me, but I was a little scared.
Totally fine. So Falcon's Fury at Busch Gardens in Tampa. I don't think the tower is as high as the one here, but the difference is the one in Falcon's Fury actually brings your seat in. So you're facing down. One, you're just facing out the entire ride. But cool. It was fine. We rode that twice, I think. And
you did. Well, yeah, Mock Tower. We rode it twice, but Falcon's Fury, you rode it once.
Yeah, I just rode Falcon's Fury once.
Da Vinci's Cradle.
Da Vinci's Cradle is a cool ride.
Yeah, it's like one of those magic carpet rides.
Yeah.
Like, Shakespeare.
Where you're sitting in a thing and it kind of, the pendulum kind of rotates you up, swings you side to side almost like the pirate ship, but you're constantly facing upright and then it eventually goes the whole way around. It kind of messes with your, with like gravity. Cool ride. Yes. I liked it. We also did the bumper cars. They were unremarkable. They were fine.
They're worse than Hershey Park. So that was probably the ride that was like not as nice as the other features in the park.
Yeah.
What other small rides did we do?
There were a couple other cool rides that we didn't get to experience. There's a river ride because there's
Les Scoot.
There's a river that kind of goes through the entire park.
Oh. Escape from Pompeii.
Oh, we mentioned that.
We mentioned that, really early in the talk show.
Yes, so I forgot about that. So Escape from Pompeii is first ride we did of the day today. That is a water ride.
If you're scared of water, if you're like a cat, I'd suggest not try this because you get soaked.
You do get wet on this ride, so I don't know how to explain it. So my gold standard for a water ride, and I'm probably biased, but my gold standard is Splash Mountain. Disney has done an incredible job with Splash Mountain. I think that came out in 92 or 93.
Yeah, they did a wonderful job.
25 years later, it's still one of the best in the business. Disney has figured out a way.
Even how small the building looks. I mean, it looks so small, but it's so big on the inside.
Yeah, the problem with some of these water rides is these flume rides, you go up,
and then you go down.
Turn around, and you go back down. And
like
that's
Tidal
it.
Wave.
That's it. Like Tidal Force at Hershey Park. Like a smaller one called the Coal Cracker. Escape from Pompeii is pretty much that type of ride. I'll give them that the outside of it looks cool. It looks like Roman ruins. You go up to the top of the hill.
Yeah, they
said
that.
You go inside, and there's like a...
They said that it was a replica of the city Pompeii that was destroyed in 79 AD by a big fat volcano.
Was it 79 AD? Yeah, I was explaining this to Josh. I've actually been to the actual Pompeii in the summer of 2005. I was there and got to see the town after Mount Vesuvius, which was a volcano.
A big, fat volcano.
Yeah, exactly. Mount Vesuvius actually...
They were too stupid to not build it on the volcano.
Well, I guess they didn't know at the time that it was an actual volcano. Erupted, killing everyone. Anyways, Pompeii, you go inside the building, and it's kind of cool. They do a couple things with fire, a couple, what do you call them? Pillars drop in front of your face, but...
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. It's not wonderful. It's
too
fine.
Hot, too short, too wet.
Yeah, it's fine. So, but we did get wet, which was nice because it was incredibly hot, incredibly humid, so it cooled us off briefly. So we did do Escape from Pompeii. There are other rides there. There's the water ride. There's another small log flume ride, which we didn't go on. There's a pirate ship we didn't go on. There was a whole Sesame Street area that, frankly, we...
Yeah,
Josh
I'm
is
glad
at a point in his life
that.
Where that's just not his thing anymore.
It
which
used to be, but not
used
anymore.
To be. We used to spend our entire time in those areas, but not anymore. So we skipped the Sesame Street ride. So I'm trying to think of anything else.
The food, we went to the parks at the time where they were doing the food and wine festival, and I honestly thought that the food that they have there were really good. Like, very cultural, like, from around the world, everywhere. Including the banana crepes or whatever they're called.
Grapes.
Grapes.
Yeah, so I was talking about, Epcot does this food and wine festival in the fall, I believe. I think it's the fall. Busch Gardens does this one. It lasts through, I think, July 1st it ends. And frankly, not a bad thing. I mean, I didn't have any of the drinks. I did have a couple of beers. Their beer selection there is fantastic. Pricey, but, theme park pricing. Food was reasonably priced. I'm trying to think. So we went to Ireland. We got the bangers and mash, which is a sausage.
Ate the banger. I ate the mash.
And he had the mashed potatoes. It was very good. I think it was $4.50. To some people, it would be considered a small meal and reasonable.
Like a good snack
that'll last you if you're picking throughout the day. The main attraction for me was Das Festhaus, I believe it's called. Is that what it's called? Where is that?
Das Festhaus?
What's it called?
Wait.
Yeah, Das Festhaus at the Oktoberfest portion of the park. So there's a Germany portion, then there's an Oktoberfest portion with which we spent a lot of time playing games, going to the arcade.
Yeah.
Josh.
I had terrible luck. I almost won a $200 gift card to Best Buy, though.
Well, here's the other thing. We could not complete this podcast without an official review of the arcade sections of each and every amusement park. So why don't you talk a little bit about the arcade sections at Busch Gardens Williamsburg.
Okay, so there are two main arcades at Busch Gardens Williamsburg. The one in Germany and the one in Fiesta Italia. I honestly thought that the Fiesta Italia one was better because it had, like, you could turn in tickets for prizes. But, I couldn't really explain to you what... Well, never mind about that. I just had terrible luck there, and I didn't do very well. So, and at the one at Germany, much less, like, games that you win every time, just games of chance. And I kept playing this one where you have to stack the blocks, and there's a minor prize and a major prize. Once I passed the minor prize, I got to the minor prize almost every single time. Each time I got to the minor prize, I wanted to keep going because I want to win Daddy a $200 gift card for Best Buy. And I actually got to the major prize line, but I missed by a block there, and I was like, no! But anyways, so let's start rating the rides on a scale of 1 to 10 stars. So let's start with Loch Ness Monster. What do you rate that on a scale of 1 to 10?
So on a scale of 1 to 10, and I think
1 being the worst, 10 being the best.
It's hard because Loch Ness Monster is 40 years old, right? So if we're going to start a rating system of 1 to 10 stars, it's difficult because I would say if it was 1978, that ride would get 10 stars.
Oh, I mean now.
Obviously. Yeah, it's 2018.
Yeah, but I mean, you'd have to get at least a good rating because, like, it's 40 years old and it's actually pretty smooth.
Yeah, it's withstood the test of time. I gotta give Loch Ness Monster a good, solid 7 stars. What do you think, Josh?
I liked everything on Loch Ness Monster. I liked the part when you went inside and the Loch Ness started screaming at you and it tried to chase you and stuff. And I also liked the intersecting loops. At one point, it used to be the world's tallest roller coaster. I don't know how that's possible because it's so short. But I'd probably rate it 8.5 out of 10 stars.
8.5 out of 10. That's good. All right, let's keep going. Let's roll through these because we only have like 5 minutes to go.
Okay. Griffin. I'm going to rate it. I mean, it had very good drops. It had very good inversions. So I'm probably going to rate it a 9.5 out of 10 stars.
I'm also going to give Griffin maybe a 7.5 stars out of 10. It's a solid ride. I've ridden ones like it before. It's a good thrill ride. We did it at night, which I enjoyed, especially with the lightning and the clouds way off into the distance. So 7.5 for me.
Okay. Alpengeist. I enjoyed it. I liked the drop. I liked all the inversions. But it wasn't exactly my favorite. I mean, it was long, but I think it needed, like, more intense inversions. I don't know. So I'm just going to rate it, like, an 8.
I'm going to give it a 5. It's an average ride to me. It's not my favorite type of roller coaster. I have no reason to give it a remarkable rating, so 5 of 10 for me for Alpengeist.
Okay. Tempesto. Turkish Delight. Tempesto. I really thought that ride was unique. I mean, I've pretty much never seen a kind like it in my life before. And I thought it was pretty intense, especially the first time I rode it. My heart rate, I have a watch that tells me my heart rate, and it got up to like 120. And, so I'm probably gonna rate it a 9.
I will give Tempesto an 8. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was going to be one type of roller coaster, and it ended up being a completely different type of sensation while riding. Very fast, very cool logos, very sleek-looking track, good cars. 8 out of 10 for me.
I probably know the rating that you're going to give Apollo's Chariot once we talk about it, which we're going to talk about it now. I'm going to give Apollo's Chariot also, well, a 9.6 out of 10 stars. I really liked how it was very smooth and we just had a lot of fun on it. There was a tunnel that you could scream in, which I like doing. and there are a couple turns. Most of it was straight. Like, you go up, and then you have that 5 foot, like, that 5 foot drop, and then you go straight for a little bit, and then you go all the way down, and you go up, down, up, and then you have those few turns, and you have a few camelbacks, and then you take the pictures, and you're pretty much done. So I'm going to get, oh yeah, I already told you guys my rating. So what do you have to rate?
I give it a 9 out of 10. Solid ride. It's my type of ride. I liked it. Good cue. Good drops. Good speed. It's my ride.
Did we talk about Invader yet?
We did not.
Oh, Invader. Invader, I'm probably going to give it... I was going to give it a 7, but I just realized that for a wooden roller coaster, it's actually pretty neat and it's pretty cool. So I'm going to give it a solid 8.
I, too, am going to give it an 8 for the same reasons. It's a solid wooden roller coaster. I enjoyed it. It's got a lot of cool features that you don't see in wooden roller coasters. Solid 8 for me.
Okay.
As we head our way into Publix, because we are Floridians. Well, Josh is a Floridian by...
Truly.
True Floridian, born in St. Pete. And I'm a Floridian by heart. The one good thing about this area down here in Southern Virginia as we were making our way back to Pennsylvania is that they have Publix.
Yay!
In Southern Virginia. So
Publix,
we're actually pulling yogurt into a Publix, and I've got two coolers in the back ready to take whatever we can get out of here. So, where
the
are we
at? Yogurts, here I come.
That's right. The you can't beat the Publix yogurts. So where are we at now? How many more do we got to rate?
We have... Since we only have literally 3 minutes left, we're going to have to get through Escape from Pompeii and all the other stuff really quick. All
right, so let's just give numbers. So let's go through them. Escape from Pompeii.
4.
Yeah, I'd give it a 4.
We didn't do Newcastle. We didn't do Les Scoots.
Loch Ness Monster.
That's a roller coaster. Mock Tower, 9.
Yeah, I give Mock Tower a solid 6.
Da Vinci's Cradle. I'm going to give that... It's your average ride. Like, you can see it wherever you go, so I'm probably going to give it... Although I've never been on one before, so I'm going to give it an 8.
Yeah, I would give that
lots
one...
of G's.
Lots of G-forces and gravity. Gravity manipulations. I'd give that one a solid 7.
Okay. So I think we covered pretty much all of it. So
let's go over. We'll do another podcast.
So on a scale of 1 to 100, what do you rate Busch Gardens Williamsburg overall?
I give it a 90%. I think, it's a solid park. I was pleasantly surprised. Another thing about the park is the area surrounding it. Williamsburg, this is my first trip to Williamsburg. Josh has been to this area several times with his mom. It's a great area. Lots of nice
great
restaurants.
Great place for kids. I'm definitely going to recommend this, and I'm probably going to give it a 10.
100%. 100%, yeah.
I completely recommend it. It's a great place to take your kids. And... Yeah. Like, it's family-friendly, except for that one lady swearing. But you're not going to see many of those people.
Yeah, it's a good park. It's a good park, good food. Bring your walking shoes.
Yes, bring your stepwatch.
Yeah, bring your stepwatch. Yesterday we tracked about 15 miles, and I believe today so far we only did about 7 miles.
Today, right now, I have 13,943 steps.
That's a lot of steps, kid.
Yes, it is.
So, that's about it. That's our first inaugural podcast, and if you listen, thanks for listening, and if you liked it, let us know, and maybe we'll make some more in the future, because, by goodness, we definitely go to a lot of different parks, so...
Yes. If you want to hear our reviews more, just like us and listen to us, and we'll make more for you.
All right, on behalf of... Little Josh, I'm Josh, signing off. See you real soon.
See you real soon. It's me, Little Josh. Goodbye.